Good morning.
I'm
glad to be saved. I'm glad I'm saved. You're glad I'm saved. And I'm glad you're saved. I believe the Lord's spoken to all of us in here. And this desire that you'd pray for us and with us as we share with you the Word of God. Last Sunday, we talked about Job. We talked about Job wanting... The Lord saying to Job, to the devil, testifying to that Job was a man, a perfect man, upright, one that feared God and eschewed evil. Yes. That was God's testimony of Job.
Yes.
It wasn't Job's testimony of himself or other people's testimony of his. You know, you can get certain testimonies and they mean a lot, right? It depends on who that testimony is coming from. A lot of times when we have job applications, and one of the things that they want to know is, can you give me a letter of recommendation?
Yeah.
And so what they do is you go in to get somebody, and what you try to do is you try to get people that have some kind of clout in some kind of way or another. And when those people that have clout, doctor somebody or somebody that has that's been a CEO or whatever, and they give you a letter of recommendation, that has a lot of weight, as opposed to your next door neighbor giving you a letter of recommendation that he works for the government down in the janitorial department. Mm-hmm. It means something different, doesn't it?
Yes.
Well, Job's letter of recommendation came from God himself. You can't go any higher than that.
Mm-hmm.
All right.
Yeah.
And so what I want to look at, I want us to keep that in mind, first of all, that Job's letter of recommendation came from God. All right. So we saw the character of Satan and how horrible he is. And this is one reason why you don't want to serve him.
Amen.
Because when the Lord removed the hedge and allowed the devil to do whatever he wanted to do to Job, he did the worst that he could possibly do. He took him down to ground zero. And he'll do the same to us if that hedge is removed. Now, I want to read a scripture before we go to Job. We're going to go to the second chapter of Job. But I want to read a scripture in James, the 10th chapter. Now, the 5th chapter in the 10th verse, it says, take my brethren, the prophets who have spoken in the name of the Lord for an example of suffering. So I want us to look at that. I want us to look at in the Old Testament and the prophets, and not just in the prophets, but you've seen people in your own life and your own experiences that have suffered. And it's been an example to you. Sometimes we wonder why. Sometimes it doesn't quite make a sense to us. But these people have gone through great sufferings and God has blessed them. So it says, for an example of suffering, affliction, and of patience. Behold, we count them happy which endure.
Yes.
We have heard the patience of Job and have seen the end of the Lord, that the Lord is pitiful, very pitiful, and of tender mercy. So Job went through all that what he went through, and we studied a little bit about that last Sunday. Job went through all that he went through, and then in the end, if you go to the end of Job, you find out that the Lord was pitiful to him. He was merciful to him, and the Lord gave him more than what he had before. But he had to go through that period of suffering before the Lord blessed him. Now, I want to say this. Suffering is a central part of the Bible. The whole point of Christ, what did he do? He came down here, he suffered for us. He died on a cross. Did he die because he did something wrong? No, he didn't die because he did something wrong. He died because you did something wrong and I did something wrong. He died because Adam and Eve did something wrong. He died and he suffered those cruelties, not because for his sake, but for our sake. So I would like to present as a position that some of the suffering that we go through on a day-to-day basis is not all about us. Well, Lord, why am I going through this? Well, it could be substitutionary suffering that like Jesus went through. There is something about the gospel or the world, let's just put it in the world, the world is run and grounded on laws, right?
Yes.
All right. And those laws don't change. The law of gravity, what goes up is going to come down. The law is going to pull it down. The reason that we're standing and I'm able to walk is because there's a law that's pushing me down. I don't know all the scientific data about it, but I know the simplicity of it is that there's a law of gravity and it doesn't change. It could be suspended for a short period of time under certain conditions, but it remains. Well, just like that, the law of physics, there are certain laws of physics that this world operates around, right? And then I want us to understand that there is a moral law, okay? that the world operates around. If somebody violated you in some kind of a way, a egregious violation, and that person, you went to the judge and to the attorneys and to the law, the police, and they say, it's no big deal. I mean, we don't want to get into this, and we don't. You would feel violated again, wouldn't you? And so there is in that, you want them to pay for what they did. Am I correct? That we do. We want, and part of judgment, I've said this before, part of judgment is not just to punish a person, it's to stop the action. All right. So in other words, and that's probably a bigger part of it. What do we do with the child? Well, the child keeps acting up. They keep acting up. I'm going to give you one more chance. And you say, I'm going to give you one more chance. And then at some point you say, you pop them or you take off your belt and you give them a good whipping. Why did you do that? Is it because they made you angry? No, you wanted that behavior to stop. And the reason that you lay judgment on that child is because if you didn't lay judgment on that child, they wouldn't stop the behavior. Licking out their tongue at you, doing whatever they're doing. All right. So we have to understand. I want to lay that foundation because I want us to understand that the Lord does the same thing. All right. There are some times that he just lays judgment on people because he's told you, I've given you a chance. I've given you, this is the fourth time I've told you that. Now all of a sudden judgment comes and you're wondering, well, why did he do that to me? Lord, have mercy on us. Okay. Now let's go to, so I said all that to say that there are going to be some kinds of sufferings that we go through that are not just about us and not just because of something that we did, but because maybe we're like Jesus. Maybe in this instance, I am suffering for somebody else.
Yeah.
Does that make sense?
Yes.
All right. God is love.
Yes.
And you know what the scripture says about love? It does what? It suffers long and is kind. How many parents, when we had, most of us are parents here, I think all of us are, and how many of us that at 3 o'clock in the morning when our child hollered and cried and wouldn't go to sleep, how many of us enjoyed just skipping over to their crib and picking them up and singing the lullaby song? None of us enjoyed that, did we? It was a suffering thing. I was in a deep sleep and a good dream, and now all of a sudden I have to go and take care of this child. That's suffering. And you suffer for a long time. And it's kind while you're doing it. All right. I've laid the foundation there. You with me on that?
Yeah.
Now, let's go to Job, the second chapter. And I want to start reading the first verse.
Again, there was a day.
All right. So here's a couple things that I want us to understand. So we talked last Sunday about Job. About Job suffering, right? Now, what does this word mean, again? It happened before.
Yes.
Okay. So, all right. So I want us to take a hold of that again. I want us to look at that really well. All right. Again,
there was a day
when the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord, and Satan came also among them to present himself before the Lord. Now, whether this is, I don't altogether know, but I do know that one of the things that the devil does is he walks about seeking whom he may devour. All right. He's going to do that. That's part of his character. That's part of his job. That's what he does. We cannot expect anything different of him. But here he says, again, there was a day when the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord. Satan came also among them to present himself before the Lord. One of the things that Satan has a right to do is he has a right to get what belongs to him. Because what we talked about, there is a moral law, and part of that moral law is there's justice. So if I say to you, here is this thing and it belongs to me, and if I give it to you and I say, here are the conditions under which you can hold this, that I have the right to do 1, 2, 3, 4, then if you're holding something that belongs to me and you had a clear understanding that this is what my expectations are, then if you go to God and you say, God, this person has this which is mine, do I not have a right to it? The devil has rights just like we do. All right? Because we're living in a justice moral system, right? And the devil is for lack of a better term, is a part of that system. Do you understand what I'm saying when I say that? So if I go to the Lord and I say, Lord, you have said in your word that there are certain things and that certain promises that are mine, then God feels an obligation because the justice system under which he operates says that I can have that if I meet those conditions. Well, in the same way, when the devil comes and he says that he has this of mine, and he has a bad attitude, he has anger in his heart, he has a vengeance in his heart, is not that his? Does that not that belong to the devil, those things? He has sin in his life. And so God, he goes to God, and this is why he comes when we present ourselves to the Lord. And then he comes also to say, what do you got? You remember that boy hurt you, didn't he? And you're still holding that. There's some unforgiveness in your heart. And as a result of that unforgiveness, that belongs to me. I have the right to, the devil says, I have the right to afflict you as a result of that. And the Lord, scripture says in one place, the accuser of our brother is cast down. So again, we're laying the foundation here. And then we have an advocate, though, an advocate that's merciful, that steps in the middle of it and says, I'll take that punishment for you. You don't have to take it. Yes, you deserve it. I deserve it. You deserve it. But I'm going to step in the middle of it, and I'm going to take that punishment for you. That's what Jesus did. He suffered. Did he suffer for himself? Did he suffer because he had sinned? No, he suffered because you had sinned and I had sinned.
Amen.
All right. Continue.
And the Lord said unto Satan,
whence comest thou?
And Satan answered
the Lord and said, from going to and fro in the earth and from walking up and down in it. All right. So I'm looking for devilment in essence. I'm looking for what I can do. I'm looking for what options I have in the life of everybody. This is why it's very important for us to keep clear lies before the Lord.
Yeah.
Because if we don't keep clear lies before the Lord, then the devil has rights that God sometimes is saying, all right, my mercy is going to hold back. A lot of things that's keeping the devil from coming against us is just the mercy of the Lord. It's not that we deserve it. It's not that we're so good. It's God's mercy that has suspended that judgment at this particular point, right? All right, read.
And the Lord said unto Satan,
hast thou considered my servant Job, that there is none like him in the earth, a perfect and an upright man, one that feareth God and escheweth evil, and still he holdeth fast his integrity, although thou movest me against him to destroy him without cause. Now, I want to come back to this word again, okay? So this is not the first time that this has happened. This is not God's first letter of a recommendation about Job. We have to understand that there is something that happens. Oh, this is a good saint, and oh, sister so-and-so, she's a good saint. Brother Daryl is a really good saint. All right, and you have that, but I haven't gone through anything yet, right? My life is perfect. Everything is going just the way that I want it to go. Now, all of a sudden, I lose everything. My children, my money, my wealth, everything that I have, I lose it, and I hold my integrity with the Lord. Can that be our testimony? It must be our testimony. But what I want us to understand is, he says again, this happened again. Now God, after all of that Job went through, all of the hardship and the affliction and the trials and losing everything, God is still able to recommend Job.
Yeah.
How many of us would God be able to recommend? Oh, he's a good brother, but he ain't been through no trials. He ain't been through no problems. Now he's been through the problems, and God is having this conversation with the devil again. That means far more, in my opinion, than it did the first time.
Right.
All right? Because he lost everything. He didn't just have a sore throat or a sprained ankle or something like this. He lost everything. And now as a result of that, he's still holding his integrity with the Lord. And the Lord said to him, the Lord says in this, and he says, have you considered my servant Job, that there is none like him in the earth? This man is a man that is unique. He is something special. He has something special, right? But let me tell you what I've learned. What I've learned over the course of the years of being saved, being a Christian, is that what's available to Job is available to me.
Yeah.
What's available to every other person in the Bible, these series of stories in the Bible, what was available to them is available to me.
Yeah.
So if Job can do that, the example of suffering, I'm looking at Job and I have not gone through that kind of a suffering. God forbid that I don't want to go through all that kind of suffering. And I don't think most of us will. Probably none of us will go to the level of suffering that Job. Well, none of us have. The richest man in the world, first of all. So you can't lose. I mean, you can lose everything you've got, but you're a hundredaire. You're not a millionaire or a billionaire or something like that. A little different when you have a whole bunch of money as opposed to us struggling anyway, right? We're struggling to depend upon the Lord. So here is the situation here. He says, "Hast thou considered my servant Job, that there is none like him in all the earth, a perfect and an upright man, one that feareth God and escheweth evil." So escheweth evil is just turning it off. When you see evil, you just turn your back to it. You don't even, I'm wondering what's going on over there. And so you get a little closer look. That's not what Job did. Job said when there was something that he deemed as evil, he just eschewed it. He turned around. He looked in the opposite direction. He got his attention off of it as quickly as possible. That's what we have to do. All right. So, and still he holdeth his integrity, although thou hast moved me against him to destroy him without cause. So in other words, what was it? The Lord allowed this to happen to Job. And we have to understand that in any kind of situations and circumstances that are contrary to what we want, God allows it.
Amen.
It's not, God is not the result of it, mm-hmm. but he allows it.
Yes.
We understand in this behind the scenes interview, or this behind the scenes interview that God has, or conversation that he has with the devil, we understand behind the scenes that the devil is responsible for it, and God allowed it to happen. But here's the wonderful thing that we need to understand. God does not allow things to happen to us to break us. It's never that. He knew how much Job could bear, and no matter how difficult your situation and how much your sufferings and how much your afflictions are, God knows if you can bear it.
Yeah.
We got to remember that, because sometimes we don't know that we can bear it. Sometimes we don't think we can. And God says, I wouldn't have let it come your way. What does he say in I think the 10th chapter of 1 Corinthians, where he talks about, but he's faithful. He will not allow you to be tempted above that you're able, but will with the temptation make a way of escape. So the first law, according to this, the law of God, is that you'll never be tempted above that you're able to bear. Period.
Yeah.
It can't happen. It won't happen. He'll give us more grace. I need grace to be able to deal with. I need strength. He'll pour strength in me. That's what Job asked him to do. He said, when I look for the Lord, what is he going to do? He's not going to take it away. I'm going to ask him to pour strength in me that I'll be able to bear it. Okay, so I want to make certain that you understand these things that the Lord's not going to put upon you more than what you can ably bear. So he says here, although thou movest me against him to destroy him without cause. So there are going to be, and here's the encouragement that we need to make sometime. There is going to be sometime some of the sufferings that we go through are not going to be because of what we did. Now, oftentimes when we go through a lot of suffering, one of the first things we do is examine our lives. What did I do to deserve this?
Yes.
Haven't you said that? Haven't we said that to ourselves?
Yes.
What did I do? I don't deserve this. What do I do to deserve this? What did I do to deserve this? We examine our lives, and I think it's a good thing to examine our lives. Because sometimes what we want to eliminate is let's make certain that I'm not the one that's causing all of this heartache in my life. Let me see what I've done. So that's good for us to do. So he says here,
four.
Okay, I want to go back up here. No, I want to go back and deal. Still he holds his integrity, although thou movest me against him to destroy him without a cause. So this was not Job's doing. Job was not going through this suffering because of Job's wrongdoing.
Yes.
Job was going through this suffering, I believe, as an example to you and to me. For us to look into this and for the Lord to say, okay, I'm going to give him every possible thing that I can. I'm going to give him that, but I want him, I'm going to give him the strength that he needs, and I'm going to allow the enemy to go against him. But I know he's going to hold this integrity with me, because I'm going to make certain I give him the strength. The strength is going to be available to him for him to do that. All right. So this scripture that says, to destroy him without cause. So in other words, there was nothing. So sometimes what I want us to understand is the problems that we go through are not because of something we did. The sufferings that we go through, just like Jesus, is substitutionary suffering. So we say, why do good things, bad things happen to good people? Maybe in some ways, I don't have the answer to that question, but in some ways, maybe this is part of the answer. Does that make sense to you?
Yeah.
All right.
Build character.
Yes. Yeah, and another thing,
right.
It is to build character. Another thing that happens too is you become stronger with opposition.
Yes, you do.
When you resist the devil,
yes.
You become stronger.
Yes.
the way for us to, if you're going to strengthen yourself, how do you do it? You go to the gym. What do? You lift weights. What does weights do? We're talking about the law of gravity.
You put yourself through pain.
But what does weights do? Weights, it's resist. So when I'm pushing up, there's a resistance of something that's pushing down on me. And as I push up, and the more I push up, and the more I do the repetitions of pushing forward and resisting that, the stronger I become. Always the fat cells start to burn up, and the muscles start to bulge and all these kind of things. Why? Because I'm pushing against something. Well, in the same way, spiritually speaking, when we push against the things that the enemy brings our way, we become stronger. We become stronger. When we resist the devil, we become stronger. And now I not only resist him now, but I can resist the devil anytime, right? And I can become stronger, and now the trials are getting more, and the trials are getting bigger, and my strength is gaining, and I'm getting stronger and stronger when I resist the devil. This is why sometimes we have the suffering. This is why we do it. Examples of suffering, all right? All right, and so he says here, "And Satan answered the Lord and said, Skin for skin, yea, all that a man hath will he give for his life. But put forth thine hand now and touch his bone and his flesh, and he will curse thee to thy face. And the Lord said unto Satan, Behold, he is in thine hand, but save his life." Now, we talked last Sunday about there's this hedge that God has around each one of us, all right? And there are two things that happen. This hedge, this is a clear hedge. Now, it's a fence. The fence is for our safety. Sometimes we don't think, and sometimes the Lord tells us, I don't want you to do that, because what's going to happen is you're going to break a hedge. You're going to break that hedge. And there's a scripture that talks about, he that breaketh the hedge, a serpent shall bite him. So the devil is waiting for him. So here is the point. When we take a child and we put him out in the yard, and we close the fence and we lock the fence, that's for that child's protection. It's not actually not actually binding that child up. It's protecting that child. It's just how you look at it. Well, I just don't have any freedom. And this is what we did when we were teenagers. You can't do this, and I can't do that, and I can't do the other. Well, maybe it's because your parents have put this hedge about you to protect you, so that when you crawl over it and you go and do something, you find out that that's not the best thing. A serpent bit you. You got in trouble when you did that. You shouldn't have done it. All right, so now we have this hedge, and not only do we have hedge, but we have various hedges. If you break this one, the Lord, so here is all of his things, right? This is all of on the outside of this hedge, this is all of his wealth and all of this. Now, the Lord said, don't touch him. The first time, right? All that he has is yours, but don't touch his person. All right? So that's another hedge. And now, the Lord said, the devil is challenging. I know a man, skin for skin, all that a man has will he give for his life. And the Lord said, all right, you can break that hedge. Don't touch his life. The devil cannot do anything that God does not give him permission to do, or that you or I don't give him permission to do. So be encouraged that way. Y'all with me?
Yes.
All right. All right. "And Satan answered the Lord and said, Skin for skin, all that a man hath will he give for his life. But put forth thine hand now and touch his bone and his flesh, and he will curse thee to thy face. And the Lord said unto Satan, Behold, he is in thine hand, but save his life." All right. So that tells us something. This interaction between God and the devil, what it tells us is that the power of God, he has great power. All right. And he has power to stop the devil in his tracks. He has power to help us in any kind of situation. And I believe what the Lord did is he said, all right, I'm going to pour enough strength in Job that Job is going to be able to deal with this in whatever capacity and whatever situation that he needs to deal with it. And I believe we're looking at examples. I believe what we need to understand is the Lord is going to be encouraged. The Lord is going to do it for you. Whatever it is that you're going through that's hard and difficult and you don't understand it and it makes no sense to you, and Lord, why? Why is all this happening to me? Or whatever, the Lord is going to give you what you need to go through it. Yes. Don't be discouraged by that. Don't let the enemy discourage you by that. Job, even though it's one of the most tragic stories in the Bible, it is also one of the most encouraging stories in the Bible. Because I want to say to people as they're going through the Job, if Job was here and we were living in real time, you would say, Job, it's okay. Just keep going. You got to get to the end of the chapters. Right. It's going to get better. See, we can look at it from retrospect. We can look at it from the back. Oh, Job, you're going to be okay. But when we're going through our trials and our tests in real time, can we say that to one another, Lord, hold on. God's going to take you through it. You haven't gotten to the end of it yet. There's another chapter. Yeah, you're going to go through a little bit harder. You're not going to be able to see him. But there's another chapter. And then there's another chapter. And you're going to be all right when it all in the end. In the end, you're going to be better than you were before. Yeah. If we could say that to anybody else, and if I walked up to you going through your trial and your test, or you walked up to me and me going through my trial and the test, Brother Darrell, how do you know I'm going to be better? This happened to somebody else and they died. Well, you ain't them. Sometimes the Lord inspires us what's going to happen in our life. Sometimes I need to see what you're going through. I need to see it. Yeah. Well, I'm the pastor, and the pastor has an understanding of all these. Sometimes you need to see it in my life. Sometimes I need to see it in your life. The example of suffering. We saw it in Jesus Christ's life. We see it in Job's life. It's one of the most encouraging things that we can see. We can look at in the Bible. That God took him through this. That God is going to take you through it as well. Yeah. Are you going to have to suffer? They that live godly in Christ Jesus or what? Suffer persecution. Sometimes people are not going to like you simply because you're a Christian. There's something about your life that convicts theirs. Yes. And they're going to do all they can to put all kind of trials and tests and everything in your way to make you angry and upset and all, so that when they look at the example, they can look at you and say, yeah, I thought you were supposed to be a Christian. Have you ever had somebody say that? They supposed to be a Christian. I've had people say that. Lord, help us. And when Job, did anybody say that to Job? No, they didn't say that to Job because God spoke well of Job. And if God speaks well of you, it don't matter what everybody else says, does it? Y'all can talk about me all you want to, but if I'm on God's side and God speaks well of me, that's all I want. That's all I have to have. All right. So it says here we're on, and Satan asked the Lord, skin for skin, all that a man hath, will he give for his life? But put forth thine hand now and touch his bone and his flesh. He will curse thee to thy face. And the Lord said unto Satan, behold, he is in thine hand, but save his life. The devil has a lot of history. And he knows that this is what maybe typically the person has. And this is typically what a person does. And so he's challenging God. So God says, all right, I'll let you challenge my servant. It's my servant. And this is what we need to know. We need to know that what God does, he does well, number one. And if he says that I'm his servant, then the servant is, while you're on that job doing what your master tells you to do, you don't belong to you, you belong to him. All right, Lord, help us, because this requires a paradigm shift. It requires something for us to look at a little bit different. Okay. So went Satan forth, the seventh chapter, so went Satan forth from the presence of the Lord and smote Job with sore boils. Seventh verse, yes. Read it.
From the sole of his foot unto his crown. Mm-hmm. He took him a potsherd to scrape himself, and he sat down among the ashes. Then said his wife unto him.
Okay, let's stop there. I can imagine itching and scratching and not the sole of your feet, the bottom of your feet, everywhere you were. It would be one of the most uncomfortable things that I can imagine, and let alone if it hurt any at all. And you just scrape it, and there's nothing you can do. Lord, why did you do this to this man? Do I have an answer for that? No, but one of the answers that I have, I don't have the complete answer, but one of the answers that I have is, and I believe it was in God's mind when he did this, when he allowed this to happen. One of the answers that I have in my mind that I believe that we can say is that he did it for me, and he did it for you, and he did it as an example of suffering. And then when I get to whatever the horriblest thing that's ever happened or ever will happen, and I look at Job and I say, if Job can do it,
yes,
I can too.
Praise God.
Have you ever been encouraged that way? Amen. Have you ever been encouraged to say, you know, somebody else is going through, well, if they can do it, I can do it. Yes. I know I can do it. There's an example here. There's something that I'm looking at. There's something that I can go forward here because they went through it and God helped them. And if they went through it and God helped them, God help you, brother. He's going to help me. He's no respecter of persons. That's what he says. And so if he helped Job, he's going to help me. He's no respecter of persons. And I can call call on his name, and I can beg him, Lord, you did it for Job, do it for me. Yes. And he'll do it. That's one reason, all right? So I can't imagine anything much worse than that, probably in pain and whatnot. And then what happens now? He lost his children. He lost his wealth. Now he's lost his health. So sometimes the Lord allows us to lose our health and our wealth. And so that kind of flies in the face of God, what God intends. We've got to be very careful. Now, I trust the Lord doesn't allow any of us to lose our health or our wealth. But I'm just saying, if it happens, God has a purpose and a reason for it, and we need to understand that. So now what happens is he lost his family. He lost everything that he had, everything that he had. Now he's lost his health. The only thing that he has is his wife is taking care of him and trying to help him. And now he's getting ready to have some friends. But here, let's talk about what his wife said. Then said his wife unto him,
Dost thou still
like, it's like she was incredulous. You're still retaining your integrity with God. Just curse him and die. But let's look at it. Let's look at it for a moment, because his wife is suffering too. She's going through something very difficult. And women tend to be more emotional. I learned in my own relationship that there are things that I can bear that are very, very difficult for my wife to bear. And so I've got to be careful. Whatever it is that I'm going through, I know where her weaknesses are. And I know where to stop. Here's the line. Don't go beyond that line or we're going to have some problems. And it's going to cause as much stress on her. And if she's stressed, then it's going to cause more stress on me. Right? So here is Job, and this little lesson today, I think it's a lesson for us to get a hold of, for us to see how gracious and how wonderful God is, even in the midst of all the suffering and afflictions that we go through. So we have to understand, she's going through something good, and she just wants it to be over. I just want it to be over. If he takes you, and I can't stand, you know, sometimes it's easier. You would rather be sick than to watch somebody else be sick, particularly if you have a child. How many times have we said as parents, well, Lord, I would much rather suffer this than to watch my little baby, my little one suffer this. And no doubt that's what she's going through. Now she's healthy, apparently. And now she's seeing it and she's saying, okay, this is enough. I've had it. Curse God and die. What did he say?
He said unto her,
Thou speakest as one of the foolish women speaketh.
What?
Shall we receive good at the hand of God?
Shall we not receive evil? In all this
did not Job sin with his lips? You know, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. So Job had it deep down in his heart that he was going to hold his integrity with the Lord. And I want us to be of that same mind. Deep down in your heart, no matter what happens to you, we just have a short period of time. Most of our lives, with the exception of perhaps as children, but most of our lives are nearly over.
Yeah.
Hold on. Why give up now? Why be angry at what God allows to happen in your life now? You've gone through it. Think about some of the worst places that you've ever been to. You've about forgotten them now, haven't you? But just think about when you were in the middle of it. You were going through the suffering and you just did not know how it was hard. And now it's just a faint memory, something that happened years ago or months ago or weeks ago or days ago. And the further it goes, the fainter it gets. I want us to be encouraged that way. I mentioned a couple other scriptures. I'm going to go to those scripture. First Corinthians 10:5. And we'll start reading there and read down through the 12th verse. Oh, I think I'm going to draw. I'm read down. Yeah.
First Corinthians 10:5.
Yes. Read 5 and 6.
But with many of them,
God was not well pleased, for they were overthrown in the wilderness.
Now these things were what?
Why did he go to those? What happened? There are examples, right?
To the intent
we should not lust after evil things. So some of the things that happened to the children of Israel, the Lord allowed those things to happen for an example. How many times, Brother Randall was saying he had a lot of good mentors in the church growing up. And when he stumbled and failed, there was those that picked him up and dusted him off. Yeah. You know why they were so merciful to you? Because years earlier, they fell and they dusted. Somebody picked them up and dusted them off. And so now what we can say, Brother Randall's been saved longer than I've been born. Been alive, right? And so now what we can say is, if God took him through those kinds of things, surely he'll take me, even though the hard times. I know there were some hard times, but even though those hard times, God will take us through those. I want us to be encouraged that way. Drop down to the 10th verse.
Neither murmur ye,
as some of them also murmured and were destroyed of the destroyer. Now all these things happened unto them for examples.
And they were written for our admonishment, upon whom the ends of the world will come.
Now, so what does it say? All things happen for what? For examples. To set a precedent. To show us how to do it. To show what not to do. There are positive examples in the Bible and there are negative examples in the Bible. And the Lord said, all of this is for an example. So what we're talking about today in this lesson is examples of suffering. So why do they happen? Why does God allow them to happen? What's going on when they do happen? It was for our admonition. It was for us to have a better understanding. Because what do we tend to do when things tend to not go our way? We tend to start complaining about them, don't we?
Yes.
But what does it say here? What does it say about 10th verse? Neither what?
Murmur ye.
And that's just kind of mumbling under our breath. You ever do that when your mother and them told you to do something? I remember we had that problem. I had that little problem growing up, but we got popped in the mouth. Oh, you got something to say? Come here. You want to say something? Then you say it. Say it to me and say that again. And you got popped in the mouth on several occasions until you learned, don't do that. If you're going to go murmur, you go somewhere where they can't hear you. And then you go and talk about all the stuff that they shouldn't have done. Y'all know what I'm talking about. Don't pretend that y'all didn't do it. I know you did. So now what happens? But here's the problem that we have with God. Where are we going to go to hide from him? Where are we going to go to keep from getting popped in the mouth? Because he hears everything. He understands everything. So the Lord tells us, I did this for an example. You're going to see what happens to them. So I want to make certain that it doesn't happen to you. So neither murmur ye. Stop complaining. And Lord help us, because this is what we do. You know, I mean, we complain about everything. Some of them murmured and were destroyed of the destroyer. As a result of that, that's the example. This is what happens to murmurers, so don't do it. And now all these things happen for an example, end samples. And they were written for our admonition upon whom the ends of the world will come. All right, drop down to, go to the 12th verse, please.
Wherefore
let him that thinketh he standeth take heed lest he fall. Also, you know everything, huh? You got it. You're the most solid saint that on this side of the Mississippi River, right? No. Be careful.
Amen.
Lord help us. This is what he's saying to us, all right? All right, read.
There's
no temptation taking you, but such as is common to man.
But God is
faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that you're able,
but will with the temptation also
make a way up to escape that ye may be able to bear it. All right. So what did he say here? But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that you're able. And that's the important thing for us to get a hold of. God is not going to let us go through a situation and a circumstance where we just, oh, you know what? Here's a temptation. And the only way that I can do this is I have to sin. I just don't have a choice. Is that ever going to happen?
No.
Now you might come to that conclusion, but that's not the conclusion that God comes to.
Amen.
That God wants us to understand that the example that he has is all of these individuals went through the most difficult and dire of circumstances, and God blessed them in the most difficult and dire of circumstances, and they did not have to sin. Isn't that wonderful?
Yes.
May the Lord help us to understand that and see it in the way that the Lord wants us to see it. All right. Now, let's go to Hebrews, the 12th chapter, and I want to start at the first verse. Hebrews 12, verse 1.
Seeing we are also compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses,
let us lay aside every weight and the sin which does so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. If the Lord inspires something, here's what I've learned in my own experiences over the years. If the Lord inspires you to do something, he does not leave you midway. He doesn't drop the ball and say, okay, you're on your own the rest of the way. If he is the author of it, he's going to be the finisher of it if we hold on to his hand and take him through and let him take us through. So he says, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him, what did he do? This is suffering that he did. Who for the joy that set before him. Now what we have to do is we have to take our eyes off of the hardships and the heartaches and the afflictions. We have to take our eyes off of that, and we have to put our eyes on the joy that is waiting before. Let me tell you, when we get to heaven, it's going to be worth everything that we went through. This little suffering in this present world is not to be compared with the glory that's going to be revealed when we get over on the other side. So what I want to encourage you, yeah, you're going through something hard right now. Yeah, it's difficult right now. But let me tell you something. God has something greater for you, and it's over on the other side. Keep fighting for it. Keep fighting for it. You're going to get there by the help and the grace of God. I heard the old time saints say heaven is going to be cheap at any cost. It is cheap at any cost. Yes. No matter how much you have to pay for it, when you get there, just think, no more devil?
Yes.
It's not going to be no more devil. Devil's not going to be there. No more pain, no more suffering, no more wants. No, all the desires that you have are going to be fulfilled. That's what heaven is all about. What I want to encourage you, let's go through the suffering that we have to go through. Oh yeah, Brother Daryl, you don't know how hard it is. No, I don't know how hard it is, but let me tell you, God knows how hard it is. Yes. Jesus knows how hard it is. Job can probably identify with you, even if I can't.
Yes.
Lord, help us.
Yes.
All right, read.
For
the joy that was set before him, endured the cross. He endured the cross. How many of us have been crucified? Literally. None of us have we? Thank the Lord. But we have our own cross. We have things, sufferings, that we have to take up our cross and follow the Lord. Follow him where? Follow him through the sufferings, through the afflictions that he allows to go. What is it for? Sometimes it is not just for you. It's for somebody else. It's for your children. It's for the man down the street that there has to be retribution for the things that he's done. And because Jesus died on the cross, sometimes he just gives us a little bit of the suffering. He said, I want you to eat this. And I have to suffer too for the sake of somebody else. To show somebody else that it can be done in 2025.
Yes.
Lord, help us. Now, I want to say this. I don't want to suffer. I'll just be honest with you. I have no desire to suffer. But I do know this. Here's the promise that if I suffer, he's going to be, if I suffer with him, what did it say? I shall reign with him.
That's right.
If I go through these trials today, tomorrow is going to be something much more wonderful and much more beautiful. All right, I'm almost finished here.
For the joy
that's set before him, endured the cross, despising the shame,
and is
set down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him who endured such contradictions against sinners, against himself, lest ye be wearied and faint in your mind. Ye have not yet resisted unto blood, striving against sin. Here's the point. He says, don't be weary in your mind. So look at the examples. So when I get discouraged, I can turn to the book of Job and I say, well, that hasn't happened to me. And that hasn't happened to me. And I'm encouraged by it. I can look at Jesus' example. I can look at other people's example that went through things that I'm not going through. That's an encouragement to me. These are examples of sufferings. All right, I'm going to read another scripture, 1 Peter, for closing. 1 Peter 4, verse 12.
Beloved.
Think it not strange.
Concerning the fiery trial.
Which is to try you.
As though some strange thing
happened unto you. Sometimes we feel that way, don't we? Mm-hmm. Think it not strange. Why is this happening to me? That's weird. That's strange. Concerning the fiery trial. Why do I have to go through this? And nobody else around me has to go through it. But just to try you as though some strange thing happened. Well, part of the thing is the Lord's purging us out, some things out of us. There are some things that I need. I've told you before, I'm much better than I used to be. But we're talking about the patience of Job. That's something, brother, you can't say the patience of Brother Daryl. Like you could say it about Job. You can say it much better than you could a year ago or 5 years ago. But that's one of the things that the Lord still works with me on, right? All right. He's going to work with you on something. So what happens? This project that we've been working on and it's taken 2 years. I was intending to have it done in 6 months. You think that was the Lord's design? No, it wasn't. He said, Daryl, you need to learn some stuff. And he's been teaching me ever since. And I've been trying to learn it. All right. Read, please.
But rejoice.
You're partakers of Christ's suffering. You see that? You're partakers of Christ's suffering. So it's not necessarily you going through something. Again, I say. But it is that you're partaking of the sufferings that Christ went, which were substitutionary suffering.
Yes.
All right. Concerning, okay.
When his glory shall be revealed,
ye may be glad also with exceeding joy. If you be reproached for the name of Christ, happy are ye, for the Spirit of glory and of God rests upon you. On their part he is evil spoken of, but on your part he is glorified. But let none of you suffer as a murderer or as a thief. Or as, they suffer too, don't they? But he said, don't you do it. Don't you suffer in that way as a busybody in other people's matters. So this, basically what he's saying is keep stay out of other people's business. That's what that basically is saying. You get yourself in trouble when you try to handle business that's not yours, all right?
Yet
if any man suffer as a Christian, let him not be ashamed, but let him glorify God on this behalf. Thank the Lord. Sometimes the reason for our suffering is the fact that we love the Lord. That's the reason we suffer. And the Lord gives us, well, maybe. The Lord has the ability to allow it to be taken away. He gives us help. He has the ability to allow it to be taken away. If we're His servant, all of it belongs to Him anyway. What does it say? 19.
Wherefore? According to the will of God,
yes.
commit the keeping of their souls
to Him and well-being as unto a faithful Creator. Yeah. The Lord is faithful to you. Whatever you're going through, the difficulties, I know, I sympathize with you, but I believe Jesus could sympathize with you, much empathize with you much better than I can, because He went through it too. And I believe if you're going through some difficulties, the examples that Job laid down are good examples. Good examples, and He can empathize with you. So may the Lord help you, and pray for us.
Yes.
Amen.